Welcome to the Court Report. I'm Jerry Price. I'm joined by Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Manghart. And coach, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
2019.
God, I'm getting old.
Do you remember the year 2000? And everybody thought, like, you know, when I was a kid, and I'm a lot older than you are, but when I was a kid, 2000 seemed so far away that everybody just used to think, well, how old am I going to be in 2000? And you just envisioned, like, flying cars and living on other planets and things like that. And now it's 2019.
Yeah. I mean, I graduated from college in 2000. So I remember because I was up on campus because all the basketball players were. And, you know, that was when the world was going to end. And yeah, I'm getting old. We're getting old.
It was the whole Y2K thing because all of the computer coding was like going to expire and, you know, and nothing came. That could be the most overrated thing ever because that was like a very legitimate fear that people had. Like nobody wanted to be on an airplane that day or anything like that.
Right. Yeah, I remember too, that's the beauty of being in college, especially before all the social media and access with cell phones, is you just, you heard it and you were like, eh, whatever. It just kind of, it doesn't affect you like it does now.
So 2019 is, 2018 was a good year for you. You went to another NCAA tournament. Your team is pointed in the right direction now, but let's talk a little bit about your New Year's Eve.
I'm
guessing you were not in Times Square when the ball fell.
You know, I kind of make a rule. I hope my players are never there. It just seems like the wrong place to be at the wrong time.
Have you ever done that?
I've never done it, no.
There's no amount of money in the world that would get me to do that.
It sounds so. I actually asked our captains, like, because we were at one on New Year's Day, and so I was like, you kind of say, well, do I want to even, you know, is that too much time for have you do whatever you want? And answer was, no, coach, we're not. No one would go into New York City. No one does that anymore. I'm like, a lot of people do, actually. For me, you know, I set a goal and I reached it. And the goal was to be in bed before midnight with no small children in my bed. Yes.
And it was still 2019 when you woke up.
It was still 2019. That's good.
I actually saw a graphic and it said that 12 asked you what percentage you think applies to this. But 12% it said, and I would have thought it was more like 30%. 12% of American adults are asleep at midnight on New Year's Eve. Which I would have thought.
Only 12%?
Right, I would have thought it would be much higher.
Me too.
So it doesn't make the graphic correct, it's just what I saw.
That's a good, you're always good for fun facts.
So speaking of fun facts, your team opens its Ivy League season in a few days, but your last game of 2018 was against New Hampshire, and it was a relatively easy win, but you talked about and tweeted about all the people who were there.
Yeah.
Talk about some of the people who were there.
You know, man, how lucky. I'm still beaming with gratitude in terms of you go to the state you're from and being from a small state, you know, you're sort of a big fish in a small pond. And, you know, I was, you know, right next to the tennis courts where I won a state championship and, you know, the basketball state championship and soccer, they all go through that area. So that was really cool. And, you know, I literally had like my 7th grade English teacher, my 8th grade algebra teacher, my 9th grade, 2 9th grade teachers, my 10th grade social studies teacher, my high school coach, old teammates, my brother in from London and his family, my sister in from North Carolina and her family, and my parents, and my aunts and uncles. And obviously the game at 1 o'clock on the 29th is just well scheduled, right, in terms of the time, but because we go up there of course for Harvard Dartmouth as well. But it was just such a homecoming game, and to have my team play so well and against in a state that has meant a lot to me was just really gratifying.
Have you stayed close to some of those teachers?
Yeah, they come almost every Harvard Dartmouth game. It's, you know, I the love of learning. I think I obviously got. I hope it's they've contributed to my role as a leader now. Is I hope the love of learning as a basketball player and how my kids continue to develop in our program is because they love the process, and I sort of love the process of learning because I had some of the best teachers around that have remained very good friends. I mean, one of them, my 9th grade teacher, like, spoke in my wedding. I mean, it's really, that's a very small town, but it's also got really lucky. I had a really great group of people.
I can't remember the last time I spoke to anybody who was a teacher of mine in high school or college. I actually had a seminar at Penn on labor history, and the guy who was the professor turned out to be, and I remembered his name, turned out to be a friend of my brother's friend. My brother also went to Penn, and it was a friend of his who asked me if I could leave them tickets for the Princeton-Penn game. This is like 15 years ago. So I left him tickets, and it turns out that one of them was for this guy. And so he showed up, and I was like, okay, like, I don't know if you remember me. Like, you obviously don't remember me, but one of the things that we had to do in his class was there were 13 weeks, say, 12, 13 weeks of the semester, and there were the same number of kids in the class as there were weeks in the semester. And on the first day, you had to pick numbers out of a hat, and that gave you, you had to pick a book, excuse me, pick a week, and there were 13 books, 13 weeks, 13 people. And so if you picked number five, you got the fifth pick of which week you wanted to choose. So you didn't get week five. You got to choose which week you wanted.
It's like a draft pick.
And yeah, and you had to read the book and do an oral presentation on the book for the class in your week. And it was, whatever, 30% of your grade or something like that. And I picked number one. And one of the books was a book that this guy had written on U.S. railway labor history.
Oh, gosh, Jerry.
And I picked week one and his book. I figured, get it out of the way and do his book. So, like, you know, why not? Like, it was, you know, none of the other books were any more or less appealing. So I said, and this is maybe 15 years ago, so it's, you know, whatever it was, 20 years after I got out of college. And I was like, I was in your junior year labor history seminar, and we had to pick the week and pick the book. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, and I got number one, and I picked your book. And he's like, oh, he goes, I remember, you're the only one in 40 years of doing that. You're the only one who ever did that.
I'm not surprised. What a great story.
Yeah, so.
Oh, my gosh. Awesome.
So, and those guys are Penn guys, and that's who you play this weekend. So
yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about that. And, you know, we can touch on some of the things that happen in the New Hampshire game as we get ready for the Penn game.
Yeah.
Penn-Princeton women's basketball has evolved into an unbelievable rivalry. It's the two dominant teams in the league. One or the other has won the Ivy League championship 9 years in a row.
Wow.
And I can say it's 7 for Princeton and 2 for Penn. It's 2 each in the last 4 years.
Mm.
So it is 2 each in the last 4 years, right? Or 3-2, you and whatever it is, it's close in the last 4 years.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, good question.
And, you know, they're always good. They're well coached. They always have good players. Mm-hmm. It's clearly been the two best teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
The league player of the year has been one of those two schools each of the last 9 years. And it's a good league, I think, this year, an improving league. But I think that clearly the two best teams are Princeton and Penn. Talk a little bit about the rivalry and sort of on the heels of the, you know, the 50-year rivalry that the men's teams had, mm. how it's pretty cool to me that the women's rivalry has evolved as well.
Yeah, especially because we're a part of it now. You know, it was, they're the two, as I told my team in preparation that started on Monday morning, is that since I've been here, it's my 12th year, the best team defensively has won it every year. And that's not including the non-conference because there's a clear difference in the strength of schedules, right? And so I'm talking about in league, you know, the teams that are the stringiest defensively have been the reigning champion. And, you know, that's why we've both been good. We've committed to that end and we're tough to score on. And they've got length just like we do. They've got an older group like we have at some spots. And so, you know, there's a huge tradition that as a Dartmouth Harvard used to be the women's tradition, and having been at that, a part of that, it's just there's nothing like playing your rival. It's a really fun experience. It should be a lot of fun.
So you mentioned defense. Penn gives up 49 points a game. It's by far the lowest number in the Ivy League. It's third in Division One.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, Drexel is number one. I looked mm-hmm. that up. What makes them such a good defensive team?
Well, they have length at the rim, and they don't foul because they play a ton of zone. But they have length, kind of obviously with a shot blocker and Aaliyah Parker, and they're always in solid position. They stand well positionally. They control the tempo of the game, so there's a low possession count in those games, which helps. And you know, I think they're, you know, like I said, let's see what it's like after the conference season, because I think the win loss. We always say what's the win loss record of the combined opponents within the league. You know, once you get into, so right now, if you add up our win loss record of our opponents and Penn's and Harvard's and Yale's and go right down the list, that kind of speaks a little bit to the strength of schedule. And so. But they've just been, you know, they play a low possession game. They want to walk the ball up the floor, and they want to play, late in the clock. So you have less possessions, and then they have length, and they're positionally sound. So
that game is here, by the way, on Saturday. I should have mentioned that.
It's a doubleheader.
2 o'clock tip off for the women, 5 o'clock tip off for the men. What you've been in the situation that they're in now recently, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact. So Princeton, I don't even remember off the top of my head, the final score 65-37, something like that, in the Ivy final last year, never a game on their home court. You've been in the other situation where you had not a full year, but, you know, 8 months to think about how they had beaten you and ended your dream against the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything to that? Does that carry over into the new year? Does that matter at all?
You know, to be honest, I've not thought about it, so maybe not.
Did you think about it last year?
No.
And is
every year is so different. You know, like I look now, I know we still have, you know, player of the year, and we still have our point guard, and we still have we have a lot of pieces remaining from that team. But, you know, your personality is different. Your kind of what you've gone through to get there. I mean, I really like the strength of schedule we've had. It's given us, I feel like we've seen a ton of different styles, and so there's a maturity to this group that usually you have to earn a little bit deeper into the season that I really like. And the pieces were a little bit deeper than we otherwise would be. So every team is just different.
One of the things I like about the podcast is the idea of trying to figure out what coaches think. Mm. And, you know, from my perspective, I think a lot of things are psychological. Like, I think a lot of games turn because one team knows it's going to win and the other team knows it's going to lose. That just ultimately, that's what's going to happen. And I think a lot of, like, I think that that's a big thing. Am I right about that? Or because, you know, in that case, you really handled them last year. Mm-hmm. They really handled you the year before.
Yeah.
You know, as you go down the path of that, how much of that is you have to get over that psychological hurdle? And I'm not talking about Penn Princeton. That happens on Saturday would surprise me. But a lot of times when you have two teams
just in general,
where there's like, I'll give you a perfect example, the Patriots, your favorite team. I think they've won a lot of games over the years because they just know they're going to win at the end, and the team playing them knows they're going to lose. That's not really the case here, but the psychological piece is what I'm getting at. Are there psychological barriers? Do you have to like get actually out on the court and start to see, or do you?
You know, it's interesting you asked that. I haven't thought about it, and I think thinking about it in a live time, it's as a fan, it's maybe one way. You know, as a coach, I look at it like it was a close game at their place, which was the first game last year, and then it was a more of a 15 to 20 point win at our place, and then it was like a 30 point win the third. So it speaks to our progression as the season goes on. And maybe kind of like the previous answer I had given about, like, I just like where we are because of the testedness we are from our schedule. I kind of look at it like it's a slope of your season, and you want that slope, what you want that slope to look like. And my job is truly over the course of this week is to make sure that slope continues moving upward. And so I don't know. I think we have enough alums back that they remember their experience in whatever year it was they were playing them. And so they will feed the fire as needed. But I guess I haven't really thought about it much.
And so let's talk a little bit about the specifics of your team as Bella is back in, you know, I would assume she's back into game shape and peak performance and perhaps even benefiting. Not that you wanted her to miss, you know, whatever it was, 9 games.
We're better for it now, but it was hard.
Right, exactly. But, I mean, you are better for it now, possibly. And now Taylor Bauer's back.
Yes. Yeah.
She played against New Hampshire
and got
a career high.
She had a career high, and her activity is excellent. She gives us great length, her effort. She's a 94-foot presence. She plays with great verticality. She's rugged. You know, and she's the kid that you root for. She's everybody's sort of. My parents probably included. I mean, she just, everybody just loves Taylor Bauer, and I do too. And so a kid that you root for, you play a little bit harder for.
And then, so there's only one left that you're waiting on.
That's true. Well, yeah, I mean, she's been practicing, so we're getting close with Kalea. You know, she's got a ton of experience. She's had to watch a lot, obviously, this year, and she's itching to get back. And we just, with nagging, you know, sort of nagging injuries, you want to, I've been playing a long game all year and West up now, right? We're here to win a 14-game season. And so we got to figure out how she feels as we get closer to the week to decide if we're going to use her or not.
So it's Penn Princeton doubleheader on Saturday, the women at 2, the men at 5. Did you get a chance? I know you were on the bus coming back, but did you get a chance to follow that game?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we had just about everybody's phone was buzzing. You know, our friends, our kids are very close to their players, and we're obviously very close to their staff. And we see them day in and day out do what we do, which is really try to battle. And
it's a great win for
them. It's a great win for them. It's a great win for the league. It's also at a great time because, you know, it's in December. It's not in November where maybe you know, there was either injuries. I mean, it's a full roster team. We didn't even have one of our senior defensive player of the year on the men's side
with
us.
Stevens.
Yeah, Miles Stevens. I mean, it's just, it was a great win, and it was well played. It was a possession game that we were tougher in the end. It was great.
And so the second game of the doubleheader is the men's game, and you know, Penn's had a great start. They had a tough one against Toledo, but they have a win over Villanova. They have some great performances, so it should be two very good games, Princeton-Penn. Women and then Princeton Penn men. Women
and it's the only doubleheader, which is a bummer. So, because I think they're playing theirs, their second one, as you had mentioned.
Yeah, it's the only Penn Princeton doubleheader. Yeah. There's
the Cornell Columbia one as well. I forgot about that.
Here, but yeah. And so those are the two games on Saturday. Do you make New Year's resolutions?
I do. I have. A couple years ago, one of them was, I shouldn't be saying this on air, but one of them was to curse less. You know, there's sometimes in your life where certain curse words just they accentuate the point differently than regular words that your grandmother would prefer. And so I neither here nor there whether I've come through on that one. And then 2 years ago, I just vowed to read more. And I'm talking not just like books that make you better, but just words more. And I've gotten that has been really special. I read every day. So that's been great. I call my grandmother every Friday and she passed. So now I've got to find another someone to call every Friday because I think I miss my grandmother a ton, but I really also miss the consistency of that phone call. So how about you?
What was that?
She died June 24th. Oh my God, it's brutal. What about you?
What's your resolutions? No.
You're just perfect all the time, right?
Just try to do my best.
Just try to do our best. Yeah, you know, I think it's a good auto reset, but you know.
I think it's, you know, I've read this someplace, but it's sort of random that this is like the start of the new year comes in January.
Right.
It was like a tribute to a Roman god, I think, Janus, and that's why January became the first month of the year. And, you know, if you thought about where you were going to start the year, it probably wouldn't be between December 31st and January 1st, but that's, you know, where it is. So.
Yeah, that's a good point, because everyone's fiscal year, it's like, I don't know what all those words mean. When do you need my receipts? Yeah, when are my kids in school? That's key. And when do you need my receipts in? Like, those are your New Year's to me.
Well, Happy New Year.
You too, Jerry.
Happy 2019 to everybody, and I hope everybody had a good New Year's Eve, and I hope everybody is safe and happy and has a great 2019 as well, and thank you once again for being with us here.
So glad. Hope we can get you another Ivy title in 2019.
We will be back next Tuesday to talk about the Penn game, and we have – so this is pretty good. We did Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah.
And now we have the one game in January is Saturday because there's not another game in January.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have some time to talk about some stuff. So
we will.
Think about things you want to talk about.
All right.
But we will be here every Tuesday.
We will.
Through January and through the rest of the season. So, again, once again, the doubleheader on Saturday is the women at 2, the men at 5 here on Carrill Court at Jadwin Gym. Princeton Penn basketball is always special. Courtney Bankhart, thanks for being with us.
Thanks a lot.
And for Courtney Bankhart, I'm Jerry Price. Thanking you for being with us. Once again, Happy New Year. And thank you for your continued support of Princeton women's basketball.